Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Wani said something really interesting this morning about what Doug Kramer is doing.
You want to run anything on the edge, stretch play, toss play, whatever. It's tough on him. It's real tough.
By the way, I'm with the texter who asks, did Wani just say cosplay? Did he say toss play or was that cosplay? Because cosplay is like when you dress up in outfits like you're a superhero.
Yes.
And
I think he said toss play.
You sure about that?
Toss play, whatever.
Is Wani a furry?
Furry. One of a growing number of people who believe that they are part human, part animal. He feels the need to get in touch with his inner kitten. Most people would find this behavior bizarre.
That's where this is going.
Do you find Wani in Rosemont at the furry convention center?
I will tell you that when I ran into a furry convention, that convention was in Pittsburgh.
Straight ahead, downhill.
I cannot think of a bear not having its fur.
Okay, so Lawrence validating Wani possibly being a furry.
Listen, as long as everyone consents, I have no problem with whatever freak flag you want to fly.
Oh, I'm with you.
Agree. Totally agree.
There's long been no kink shaming in the afternoon.
Damn right.
Here on the Score.
Full ass pack.
As he's doing his cosplay.
Cosplay, whatever.
I like what I see. Good padding. You do just fine.
It's very important.
This is really getting somewhere. I need to hear more about you at the furry convention. It was not by choice. It was just you ran into one.
I just happened to be in town.
Sure.
I went to go see the Cubs and the Pirates play. Well, some people live that furry lifestyle a little differently than others.
Quit your whine and turtle and consider yourself lucky. A girl like that is a goddess in the furry community.
Isn't it f***ing that?
Actually, furophiles refer to it as boinking. Furries are people too.
Cosplay, whatever.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Man, did we do some soul searching during the break? It was great.
Yeah, it got very, very deep in here.
It was excellent. It was like therapy for both of us.
It was beautiful. I think we owe each other a $15 copay.
I agree.
And Aaron Rodgers should come hang out for a copay of his own.
He's just going to try to convince us to do ayahuasca, though, which I'm all right if you guys want to try. It's not for me, but
I'm listening. I'm intrigued. But I'm not doing any of that stuff.
He should probably listen.
I think so. But hey, he had nothing to do with the firing of his head coach, even after the head coach decided to take play calling away from Aaron Rodgers' buddy. And then he talked to the owner on the phone on Monday night before the Tuesday morning firing. But Aaron still had nothing to do with that.
Not a
folks.
Thing. Not a thing.
Must be nice to have no thumbs. It's incredible that he can make all those great throws without a single thumb.
This is very difficult. Most
it's interesting
animals,
the amount of power that people think that I have.
Oh God, such a wise ass.
He's got a lot. They need to win it all, though, with all of this stuff that's happened. Or I guess if you're Woody Johnson, you can go, okay, now we've given you everything you need. And mm-hmm. if you don't win, now I can just start all the way over.
Well, that's true on some level, right? You strip it all away and say, okay, Aaron, anything. You want Devontae?
Whatever you need. Okay. We'll do our best to get him.
Let's go ahead and do that. Then at the end of the year, you will have been exposed as not good enough anymore, on top of also being a charlatan, a phony manipulator. So let's go ahead and move on.
On the show today, Lou Kanellis is going to join us from London. Very excited to talk with Sweet Lou. Russ Dorsey is going to join us from San Diego. Can't wait to talk a little baseball with him as well. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Spiegel. I'm Holmes. Thanks for hanging out. Tanny's here. Shane's here. We got a lot to do. There was some cool stuff that came out of London today. It was great that we were able to hear from Ryan Poles.
The Don, as I call him. Poles, Chef Poles.
I didn't know that that was a thing. But I guess it is now.
Rob.
I
mean,
he really is the Don of the Chicago Bears.
I thought Dante was the Don.
I mean, due respect to Dante, but the power is owned and earned. It is not just given as a nom de plume.
So what is George? What is Kevin Warren? Like, the hierarchy here is all messed up.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But what we could do, though,
is there anybody or is it messed up?
Is there anybody above a Don in mafia in the mafia world? Tanner, you're our mafia guy.
Don's about as high as you can go up the corporate ladder in the mob.
But maybe he's the Don of the football operation. That would be fair to say, right?
Boss. Yeah, he could be the street boss. Mm-hmm. But he still has people to answer to, yeah.
You know, George and Kevin are handling, like, the business side. Like, if we did the flow chart thing, he's at the top of the flow chart on this side of it.
On the football side of
right?
it.
Right?
Sure. So the football family. The football family, Don. The operations family, football side.
Who's in charge
Don.
Of sanitation and trash removal? Because that guy is very important.
Alan Williams.
I don't think he's in charge of anything anymore.
He brings the trash. He doesn't remove it.
And then he gets removed. I don't think
that's the case anymore.
So it's Charles Tillman. He was there. He told Eberflus, and he cried.
Just ask John's, what was his name? Whatever Smoltz? That guy's name. Oh. No. But yeah, the Don on the football side. I think you're right. Because if Poles on Sunday was in his cups, man. That dude with the shades.
Yeah, he's got a stylish look to him. And it looks like he has been in the gym, too. So he's looking good, looking fit in his suits.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking the sidelines. He knows that he's got a guy that a lot of people are very, very excited about in Caleb Williams. So this is what we wanted to get into to kind of start the show in case you missed it because everything is kind of thrown out of whack because the Bears are overseas. So the time shift is difficult for all of us. This is what Ryan Poles had to say about your quarterback's progress. Oh, my, Tanny, that's on me. That's on me. But I'm looking in the doc, though. I read straight from the doc.
No, yeah, we swapped it around, but we didn't talk to Tanny about it. Is it important to tell Tanny stuff?
All right.
The way we like to do it is we talk about stuff, and then, Shane, you're supposed to overhear it, and then you tell Tanny. That's the new way.
All right, are we doing Caleb or the communication?
Let's do Caleb. All Tanny, right. I
thanks
apologize
for know,
profusely for that.
Shane, thanks for letting me know.
I'll point a thumb.
It's on Porth. To me, it's on Porth.
It's on me.
Don't put it on Porth.
It's on Porth.
I just got some great news. I got great news from Ryan Porth, the Don earlier.
The Don Ryan Porth?
Yeah.
Y'all, we're getting all y'all your own antennas. Everybody gets an antenna, and it's going to be portable. You can bring the antenna with you to home and to work.
All right, let's try this again. In 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I think he's learning how to play professional football. And when I say that, that means to have a winning mentality in terms of what does it take to win football games from the quarterback position. And you've seen that in terms of the efficiency, protecting the football, taking what's given to him. And then as going into this last game now, explosives are starting to show up. So I really like his progress. I love the work ethic and the time that he's put into it, the grit, the toughness, the ability to bounce back from tough games. So he's right where he should be, and he's continuing to get better.
How much progress did you see in the last 2 weeks, taking into account that those are two of the league's worst defenses?
Yeah, it's the NFL. I get the record part. But his operation part I thought was really clean. I thought from watching his eyes and just going through the process, it was more poised and controlled. And he knew where to go with the ball faster. So those are all promising things to see, regardless if you're going against, you know, the scout team. And I think, too, you know, when you say, well, shouldn't these things be ready to go at the end of the preseason? It's a different speed. There's different combination of guys out there. And I think he's done a good job improving over the last few weeks.
When you have a quarterback and you see another quarterback in the league doing as well as Jaden is, and mm-hmm. you have to guard against comparing those things, just kind of the natural, I would assume, like the natural like thoughts you have with seeing somebody succeed and Caleb taking a little bit longer to get there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the human side of it is, you know, you want your guy just to take off and roll, but everyone's journey is going to be different. I think the important thing is for Caleb to understand that as well and run his own race. And he's done that well in terms of just focusing on how can I get better, how can I put our team in a position to win games.
Is it harder that's happening in his hometown?
You'd have to ask him that.
Yeah. How much of a factor do you think the offensive line struggles have been in Caleb's development? How much of that has counteracted things that you guys are trying to coach Caleb to do?
Yeah, I think it's all connected. When you talk about the whole operation in terms of the cadence, where the protection's going, you know, you have a few new pieces in there, making adjustments, communicating. So, you know, and I think they've gotten better as we've gone along too, in terms of, you know, making sure that the pocket's a little bit deeper. And then again, his drop and where he climbs up and delivers from has improved as well.
Has Caleb been more comfortable in the pocket, maybe than you could have imagined when the season started, knowing that that was going to be a process?
Yeah, yep, he looks definitely more comfortable in the pocket. I think it helps that we've created more depth to the pocket. That's important for him, because he can, once he gets vertical, he has the ability to manipulate and stay alive and keep his eyes down the field. But he does look more poised, and I think that's part of getting the reps and also understanding where everyone's going to be and that trust too. I thought early there were some reps where he was drifting a little bit to the left side that caused even more pressure. So he looks more calm, collected, and moving through his progressions.
I like the way that Ryan Poles thinks about the quarterback position and discusses it. Let me say it was nice of the Bears to to have this press conference below deck of a German U-boat. I appreciate that in terms of the sound quality. We're also not that far removed from Ryan Pace speaking like once during the season, if that.
Once, usually before the season, and then you wouldn't see him again for a very long time.
He did that for 2 years, where it was once before the season and once after the season. Just didn't bother to talk. So having Poles have the courage to come out and just address the media is still a very nice thing. But I like the way that he thinks about the quarterback, and that did not seem overly effusive. Talked about the progress that we have seen and documented.
One of the things that I do like about Ryan Poles, and I think it could be either like his greatest strength or his greatest weakness, depending on how you're looking at it, he's very honest. The fact that he didn't bristle about the offensive line question, that he didn't globalize it and go, well, you know, a lot of teams are offensive lines. No. He told you what he sees as being problematic about the offensive line and how he feels like it's improved. He also told you what he views as Caleb's responsibility to the offensive line on getting rid of the ball and him drifting and making it so it looks like there's pressure when there shouldn't have been pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have someone that high up in an organization not be afraid to talk about some of the minutiae of it honestly.
Yeah, because the minutiae is actually the context. Like, Caleb getting rid of the ball faster and not drifting is going to make the offensive line look better. That's football, how that stuff relates to it directly. Yeah, I mean, Poles, he's going to have to address the Nate Davis miss, the fact that that guy is a bench player for that kind of money. But, they seem to have found a way to survive it, at least right now, with that depth that he was so pleased about.
There's another portion of Ryan Poles talking that we need to discuss. And the reason that we need to discuss it is that it had been a big topic on the Score the last couple of weeks. And I think Spiegs was on to something when he identified it as something as necessary. We'll explain what we mean next. Spiegel and Holmes here with you on the Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Several coaches from the Seahawks and the Rams in recent years on both of these staffs. A lot of crossover. Canales learned under Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Panthers. He and Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator, spent 3 years together in Seattle, good friends.
It all makes sense when you think about the players nowadays, right? The players are different than what they were back in, you know, my time and 20 years before that, where you have these positive coaches. They preach positivity. They give a clear message. They don't try to beat you up. They try to big you up. And then you see the players perform because of it.
Highlight courtesy of Fox. You have Jonathan Vilma out there as we try to sketch out what Shane Waldron is. We're getting more input from a bunch of different places on how all of this can fit together and work.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's long been the thing where, like, sometimes you have a good cop and a bad cop on a coaching staff. But for the most part these days, it takes an empathetic adult coaching other empathetic, thoughtful adults because of how they come up. Caleb Williams in training camp was asked, what do you appreciate about the coaches? He said, the grace that they have given me as I'm learning and struggling with this stuff. Because that dude beats himself up. He needs coaches that give him grace. But then Mercedes Lewis says you got to coach them up. It's like there's a mix of that.
100%. And then you start thinking about how long Mercedes Lewis has been playing and how the league has changed.
Because people change.
What our appetite is as fans, like that changes what the players themselves growing up have realized they don't have to put up with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You start getting some agency and you go, wait, that doesn't seem fair. You know, those stupid jumps of you don't need water, you just need guts. Like, you know, all that stuff that when we were coming up in athletics, where that was a sign of weakness. You mean being hydrated? And now, like, there are whole staffs that handle the sports science part of it and why it was a really silly thing, which is why it perked our ears when Ryan Poles in London talked a little bit about why he thinks this team can be successful, and it's because there's good communication.
In terms of what I see on the football field right now, I see a team that is learning, adapting, growing, and improving week by week. I've been very happy with the high level of communication from player to coach, coach to player, to find solutions and find ways to improve every single week. And sometimes in the league, that's hard. A lot of times we're looking at the problems, but you got to have a solution-based mindset. And that's exactly what our football team has done. That's what our players have done. And when you watch our games, I believe you can see that each and every week, which is really exciting.
That's interesting. You can see it each and every week. You see the team getting better because of the communication. That's got to be exciting if you're a leader and you really believe that based on the culture that you've created and the results that you see based on the process that you know about and you're following every day. That's got to be really gratifying for him.
I was thinking about it in through that lens too, where, and look, their next couple of games can be rough. Like, this Jacksonville team is better than their record.
We'll turn the page later on in the 4 o'clock hour, as a matter of fact.
Better than their record. But in where it could have maybe spiraled into a bit of a crisis, it looks like the players were able to talk to the coaches. The coaches were open to that feedback from the players. That's important. Like that, and maybe we're making too much out of it.
I don't think so.
But the fact that the general manager thinks that it's significant lends credence to it being significant.
I think it's rare that you can see stuff on the field of any sport that is so directly obvious from the communication. So we got a benefit. I mean, there's like, because there's the coaching factors of like, be harder on us. And then it seems like some of the pre-snap penalties have gone away and things like that. And you could draw that corollary if you want. But how about like, we'd like to run the ball right up the gut and inside the tackles, please. And we'd like to be in the I formation and have Caleb under center sometimes, please. And then, oh, by the way, there it is, and it works, and they're all happy about it. And they all point to these specific, tangible things as good effects of the communication. That's rare to have it this obvious and to have it, you know, smack you in the face like this.
It's such an important approach to today's athlete too. And when you hear Caleb talk, it comes across as being a partner more than being like an employee.
Yeah.
And then you add that to the other guys that are inside of the locker room, and then they get an opportunity to take a little bit of ownership too and say, well, this is our team. And the funny thing is, like, the idea of you can actually take us to task. Like, I know that you might be a little bit hands off because you think that that's what we want, But as a group, as a collective, we're telling you, we're giving you permission to go farther.
Because guess what? If you respect me and give me agency, then you can also tell me what I did wrong. That's how we can function together instead of you just telling me that. Yeah, so Caleb is one thing, and that's a quarterback, and that is a made guy and a number one pick with that huge signing bonus. I will forever think of the moment when Jalen Johnson, a second round pick, and you know, a member of, if for a lack of better words, the rank and file, more than a quarterback, at least, you know, in the beginning of our third year, as we talked to him. So a couple years ago, Jalen Johnson saying how the teammates were getting along and talking to each other because we were communicating with intent. And it's like, what? What did you say? Communicating with intent?
But
I was Chuck Swirsky at that moment. And then I immediately bought donuts for everybody because that's how I roll.
For the Colts.
I do not deny the fact that I offered to buy donuts for everybody.
He didn't remember.
But
I really think that's what happened.
Willing denial from Chuck. He's a donut denier. That's who he is. But when I heard Jalen say that, I'm like, what? What happened here? And this is the modern athlete and just the way that they're ready to talk about stuff. And think, if you know young people in your life, if you are a young person in your life, if you have kids or whatever, or you are a kid in your life, whatever, you know that you want to be taken seriously and given some freaking respect and just like have an opportunity to talk about stuff. And, oh, what do you think? Well, thanks for finally asking. You know, like people want to be asked what they think. So, I mean, that's the way you have to do it now. It's the way you have to do it, especially as you're building something with a team, 100%.
How are the Bears preparing for this game over in London? We are going to go over there. We're going to talk with Luke Kanellis of Fox 32 about that very subject and more next here on The Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.